Right, the first reading is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 4 and 9 to 16. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat."
This is from John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35, where Jesus declares he's the bread of life. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's just pray, if we may. Father, we ask that you would guide us and lead us as we hear your word today. Help us to turn to you, to focus on you, and to hear you speaking, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you to our readers, to Pauline and to Yvonne. I wonder if you spotted the link between the two readings there. In our Old Testament reading that Pauline read, the people were grumbling about being hungry, about not having food, and God provides food for them in the desert. In the New Testament that we've just heard from Yvonne, people are chasing after Jesus, following him because he fed the crowds. So in Exodus, in the Old Testament story, the people are comparing plentiful food in Egypt with hunger in the wilderness. And they're forgetting what God has done for them, the redemption, the rescue from slavery and suffering, the transition, God leading them to freedom, heading for the promised land. Their eyes are looking down, focusing on material, physical things, not lifted up to God and things eternal. How human that is, isn't it? How often our attention is captured, isn't it, by our immediate troubles, the things of this world, and not on God, not having our eyes fixed on Jesus. I get the feeling in the Exodus story that God's a bit irritated by this. He's just a little bit annoyed. I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And then God appears in a terrifying cloud of glory, and God announces the menu: quail meat in the evening and manna in the morning, bread from heaven in the morning. The word manna literally means, what is it? Because that's what they said when they saw it. What is it? A bit like those little snacks called wopsits, you know, a little bit like that. The word manna literally means, what is it? We don't know. They'd never seen this strange stuff before. God provided for them abundantly. And he did it in the desert, where there was nothing otherwise. They would have starved without God's provision for them. And believe it or not, this is actually the third time that the people have grumbled and complained. In fact, when you read through the books of Exodus and Numbers and count them all, there's about a dozen times when the people get negative, grumble and complain against Moses and Aaron, but really against God. They become characterized by complaints, becomes their besetting sin. And I think the stories are actually a warning to us. Don't let it happen to you. Because it's very easy to get into grumbling and complaining, believing that you're owed something, that things should be better than they are. And so there's some people in the world, I find, who actually spend their lives complaining about everything else. It's a warning, isn't it? Don't get into that habit of negativity. And then in our New Testament reading that Yvonne read for us, the people, in a way, have a similar attitude. They may not be grumbling exactly, but they're on the hunt to satisfy their own needs, to sort out what they want. And to start with in the story, they're just plain puzzled. Hang on, they're saying, we left Jesus on the far side of the lake. His disciples took the boats over to this side, and now we find that he's not over on the far side, even though he doesn't seem to have come over in a boat. Now he's over on this side. And so they're asking, how did he do that? How did he get over there? When did he arrive? Psst, actually, we know the answer, don't we? Because we've read the stories of not only feeding the 5,000, but then Jesus walking on the water to get over to the far side of the lake. So they're puzzled. They don't know how it's happened. But Jesus cuts through all of that, because he knows what's going on in their minds and in their hearts. You don't want miraculous signs pointing towards God, he says. You want bread and fish for your stomachs. You're not interested in the things of heaven, but the things of earth. Just like your fathers in the wilderness in that Old Testament story. Jesus says to them, do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. I think that's the big takeaway from this. Lift your gaze from earth to heaven. Don't focus on the things of this life, which, to be honest, will be soon gone. Focus on the things of eternity. How do you do that? Where do we look, Jesus? For food that endures to eternal life? Well, Jesus said, the Son of Man will give it to you. We look to Jesus. The Son of Man was how Jesus frequently referred to himself. It's actually a phrase from the book of the prophet Daniel, from Daniel chapter 7. describe the vision? Right. One.
I think we've lost him. I've got his sermon, so I'm going to carry on reading it out, okay? In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel describes a vision he had in the night. He saw one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This vision of heaven seems to be a coronation, a human figure approaching the throne, coming to God himself, and being given authority over everything. This is how Jesus saw himself. I think he reveled in his incarnation, his human nature, but also he looked forward to his ascension and final triumph. Maybe you felt low with all the things that have been happening, what with COVID and other disappointments and uncertainties of the future, whatever it might be. But we need to look to Jesus, the Son of Man. Jesus, who is given authority, Jesus, who is given glory and sovereign power by the Ancient of Days. On him, says Jesus in John chapter 6, on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. We may feel like we're a couple of goals down, you know, like Man United and Liverpool.
Yeah. Okay. We may feel like we're a couple of goals down, but we know the final score. We're on the winning side. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So how do you look to Jesus? How do you get close to him? We're all different and God speaks to us in different ways. Now it's disconnected from audio because the audio is coming through here. That's yeah. Why.
But I'm just, we can't see me now.
So. Oh, you can't see me, right. Okay. So if I can stop the video and then restart it. Does that work? Yeah. I should be visible as lectern. There we go. Lovely. I've been found again. I am glad about that. So how do we look to Jesus? How do we get close to him? We're all different and God speaks to us in different ways. For me, for example, it's about reading the gospel stories, hearing the words of Jesus, learning about what he did on earth. These days, you can even hear scripture read to you. For example, you can even get CDs of David Suchet or somebody like that reading the gospel stories to you. And then, of course, there's music, songs and hymns, drawing close to God in worship. Of course, there's communion, receiving him in bread and wine, being filled with the grace of God. And then we pray, listening to his voice, speaking with him, spending time in his presence, encountering him. Or maybe you read stories of Christian saints, others who've led Christ-like lives. Maybe you revel in nature and find God there. You bless the poor and those in need and find Christ in the poor. Or perhaps art, poetry, painting, sculpture. There are as many ways of drawing close to Jesus as there are people with different characters and personalities. But in the end, our faith is very simple. It's all about Jesus. Jesus said so himself throughout John's Gospel in particular, but also in the other Gospels as well. Now, if anybody else says that, makes claims of supremacy, then they'd be very soon found to have faults and failings. Every time we elect a new leader, for example, we start out, don't we, with great hopes, but after a year or two, we're often disappointed. But Jesus is unique, without sin, the only saviour, God incarnate. And Jesus both shared our human nature as one of us, and by his divine nature, he alone is able to save us. And that's why our faith is all about Jesus. And so we turn to him in trauma, in trials, when we're downcast, or even when things are going well. If we turn to Jesus, then we will find ourselves comforted and restored. Let's just take a few moments now to listen to what God might be saying to each of us. And maybe he's got a word for you today, something that you'll hear God just speaking in the quiet. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to your people.